Friday afternoons with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for following me on Twitter, at Paul Harris Show. That's a phrase I could not have said 23 or 24 years ago when I met our next guest, because there was no such thing as Twitter. It was about that time that I spotted two brothers named Tom and David Gardner on AOL. Remember AOL? Oh, the good old days. The handshake to get your modem to connect? Yeah, the old AOL days with a disc arriving in your house every third day. They were the guys, the Gardner brothers were the guys behind the Motley Fool. And their mission then, as now, was to teach people how to become informed investors. Now, this was at a time in the early 90s when buying stocks and mutual funds was supposed to be done only by professional brokers and big institutions. You, the public, do not touch, was the message you got from Wall Street. Not only were the Gardners writing about individual investing, they were also opening up forums for the public to share their thoughts on companies that they liked or loathed. And over the next few years, I not only got to know David and Tom, but I also had them on my radio show many times when I was on the air in Washington, D.C., and I even helped them put together the pilot for their own radio show. So here we are now, more than two decades later. I still subscribe to one of their services and read their stuff online, and The Motley Fool is not just online, but they have lots of podcasts, and they're also in print. They've just published a third edition of their best-selling book, The Motley Fool Investment Guide, and David is here to talk about it. Hi, David. How are you?
It's so great to be with you again, Paul. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
It's amazing to think how many years have gone by and what's happened in the meantime. And here's my number one question for you, considering the time, and that is, what's different about investing now from when you started The Motley Fool in 1993?
Well, I was going to ask you my first question for you, which is, are you still as good looking? But I'll answer yours first.
Unfortunately, yes.
You know, I think the number one change between, let's say, 20 years ago and today for investors, well, there are two. First of all, good news, there's a lot more information available, and it's free. I mean, back in the day, you remember this, Paul, it was just much harder to find information if you were interested in buying stock. You had to call up the company, request their annual report over the phone from the investor relations department. You could kind of, if you were good at reading financial statements, you could read through some of that. But in the meantime, the World Wide Web has shown up. We can basically click into any company's website, see a ton about that company. We can Google the officers of the board of directors of that company. We can learn so much now, and it's all pretty much free. We can check stock graphs and see where stocks have been. We can screen. It's really remarkable, and it's a huge golden age for people like you and me who enjoy thinking about individual companies. A great St. Louis pick of mine the last few years was Panera Bread. That's been a great stock.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, it's been bought out, but it was a tremendous example of, for anybody in St. Louis, just follow the growth of a good business doing good things in the world and be a part owner. So that's the good news. And then the bad news about a change in the last 20 years, I think fewer people do this. We at The Motley Fool hope that more and more people will take a look at our book, come to our website, fool.com, and think about investing directly in stocks. Panera, again, a great example. But unfortunately, a lot of people are kind of mailing it in. They're either not saving enough in the first place, or they're investing just in funds or index funds. They don't want to take the time to do this themselves. And we certainly understand that, but it's a little bit sad for us, and we're constantly trying to get young people started. And we do have an exciting growing business, so I'm happy to say that. Since I last saw you, Paul, things have been really good for the stock market overall.
Yep.
And for The Motley Fool, but I sure would love to popularize this subject, and I'm really appreciative that you're having me on today to talk about it.
Well, we should say, you're welcome, by the way, we should say that investing in index funds is not a bad thing, because at least you're investing. Too many people aren't even doing that.
You bet. And in fact, that is pretty much the first bit of major advice that we have, not just in The Motley Fool Investment Guide, but in anything we've written over the years and on our website. So, you know, for days gone by, the stock market the last 100 years is up 10% or more on average a year, 9 to 11%, depending on the era. That's just so great. That's like the best thing that you or I could find. When your money is making money on its own, that's a better rate than you'll get in bonds. It's certainly a better rate than burying it under your mattress. So it's a tremendous story of the benefits of just being an investor. And you're right, the index fund, and we really favor, we always have the Vanguard funds because they're the cheapest fees for the little guys like us. They're basically like Walmart. They have the lowest cost and the widest selection. So we like those a lot, but we always hope that people will not just stay with those, although you can have a good long life investing, if you do, but actually instead look at companies, again, Panera or Apple or Starbucks. The list goes on of just great companies, Google, Amazon. These are all stocks that I've bought and held over the years.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about people who are at two different points in their life. One is people who are maybe in their 30s. I was talking to a guy the other day. He's 33 years old. He doesn't know anything about investing. He's not sure what to do, and he's worried, oh, I'm going to buy into a bull market that's been going on for 8 years. What if it pulls back? And at the other end, you've got people who are perhaps in their 60s or 70s who are retired or are approaching retirement, and they're worried about the same thing. What would you say to these people?
Well, I'd say, first of all, that you have to know your own mentality and your own heart, and in the difference between those two situations, your own time horizon. So in the first case, you've got somebody who is going to be investing for the next 70 years of his or her life. I really wouldn't spend a lot of time waiting or thinking, hey, what if the market's high or low?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the Dow and the S&P do today or tomorrow or this year when you're looking at that time horizon, right?
That's it, Paul, and that is the time horizon that's relevant, right? We should all be basically using the stock market as our bank, and we should be saving and putting into it, because the good news is right now your bank's giving you like 1 or 2%, maybe. And the stock market has averaged, and I'm not just talking about the last 8 years, I'm talking about the last 80 years, has averaged around 10% a year. You have to sit there with volatility. You have to be willing to buy in, and then bad news, the first year you're in, stocks drop 22%. Who knows? I certainly don't. But that's such a short-term view. It's such a mistake to be basically using the rear-view mirror as you're driving along with your money, which is what you're doing if you're looking backward. You should be looking forward and asking where are things headed. And one of my favorite visuals is just, you know, look at a graph of the stock market over the last century or the last 80 years, or how about the last 70? If we're talking about a 33-year-old going forward 70 years, look at the last 70. It basically starts in the lower left, and the graph goes high up in the upper right. And that's what you should expect over the next 70 years, so definitely get invested. You have that second fellow who is older, who's getting near retiring or is retired, and that's a different condition. There's a handy rule of 100. You've probably heard this before, Paul. I bet we talked about it on your show years ago. But you subtract your age from 100, and that's roughly the percentage that you should have in stock. So if you're 70 years old, I think you should have about a third of your money invested in the stock market. If you have more money or can accept more volatility, or you're somebody who loves the stock market, I certainly could see it higher. When I hit the age of 70, which is 19 years from now, I will very likely have more than 30% in stocks. But as you start to wind down your financial life and get excited about your retired life, you should be thinking more about having fixed income and other forms, bond funds and these kinds of things that either pay you some dividends in the form of stocks or give you interest every year. So you're good to ask that, because there are different stages of life, and how you invest has to be adjusted based on those.
Very well said. Now, you're famous, David, for being the rule breaker of the Motley Fool Gardner Brothers. You have a fund called Rule Breakers, and you have chosen through your career a lot of companies that I call disruptors, Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, etc., which are still big stocks. Now their value is way, way up there. Not that the value of each individual share matters all that much, but they have gone up so much. Somebody who's going to start investing now might look at those and go, okay, well, David got 10x return on his money, or 20x return, or for a smaller one, maybe even 5x return. If I get in there, all the value's already gone out of that stock. Why would I invest in those instead of finding some of my own rule breakers?
Yeah, well, definitely, again, not true to think that they won't still do well. Just like the stock market has done really well over the last 30 years, and some of those companies have been completely awesome, like Amazon, as you mentioned, Paul, for the last 20. Let's look ahead the next 20 years. Does everybody raise your hand? Don't do this if you're driving. Raise your hand if you think Amazon.com will be bigger 10 years from today than it is today. And my hand's up. And if your hand's up, you should definitely think about owning some shares in it. I own some shares. I've held them for a long time. And the companies you just mentioned, companies like, and I've said some of these earlier, Apple, Starbucks, more recently, a company like Tesla, or going a little further afield, Mercado Libre, which is kind of like Amazon, but for the Latin American countries, has been a wonderful stock recently. Basically, the winners tend to keep on winning. My most recent stock recommendation in Motley Fool Stock Advisor, which is basically the kind of starter service that most people subscribe to initially at the Motley Fool. My most recent stock pick, again, I've been making a pick every single month since 2002, so that's a lot of picks. And my most recent one is a company you might have heard of, Paul. It's 3M.
The people who make the Post-it notes, where do they 3M. Fit in? Where do they fit into the word disruptor?
They are tremendous. Did you know that they're basically the third most innovative company in the world after Apple?
Really?
And then Alphabet. Yeah, based on what they crank out, the amount they put toward it, and think about how long that they've been around. I mean, they, of course, I think of Post-it notes, too. I use them every day. I love Post-it notes. 3M has a lot of products. They're not quite as sexy or well-known as the new iPhone X, but they're also a little bit safer because they're not kind of – Apple has only a few products. 3M has hundreds and hundreds of products.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an incredibly innovative company, and I'm citing that not because it's my favorite stock of all or not because it's going to double next year. It's probably neither of those. But I'm mentioning it because it is my most recent recommendation. I do think it'll beat the market for the next 5+ years. It's done so over the last 5 years, and it's 3M. So for anybody who thinks that they've missed the boat or are missing it, the only boat you'll miss is the one you don't get aboard when you recognize, again, how the stock market does and how great companies do over time. And you need to give them time.
Okay, so let's say you're on board, you're already investing in the stock market, and you own a company, and its share price drops 10 to 15%, and you don't see any problem with the fundamentals of the company. It's still a great company, but it had some sort of pullback for, you know, somebody on Wall Street sneezed on CNBC, and boom, that was, you know, problem for whatever stock he was talking about at the time. If you own that stock, do you then buy more? And then conversely, what about these stocks that have been going up and up and up and up? Are you buying them on the way up as well?
It is my tendency to tend to add to stocks that are winning and not to add to stocks that are losing. Now, I need to preface that by saying that there are many different styles, and a lot of people like to kind of buy on dips, as they say, although I've said in the past, dips, buy on dips. So, you know, there are different styles here, but, you know, buy low, sell high, that kind of mentality a lot of people have. I've kind of reversed that, and I've done very well by doing so. So, again, I like to find great companies. They start winning. They start making me money. And I add my new money to those companies, not the ones that aren't doing so well or the down and outers. It's kind of like the stock market gives you a chance to bet on the horse race, and you're allowed to watch one-third of the horse race. And you're now allowed to bet right then. And so you're able already to see which horse is out front. And I think that's a better visual for most people as they're thinking about what to invest in than betting on the horse that's all the way back after a third or a half of the race. So that's the mentality that I've had that I use, but I do call it the rule breaker mentality because it breaks the rules of how most people think about investing.
You know that a lot of people here in St. Louis who go to Fairmont Park and bet on the ponies are thinking to themselves, wait a second, quite often that first horse out of the gate halfway through the race, they start fading.
You're right, but how about this? Let's call it two-thirds of the way through the race. And down the stretch they come, and now you're allowed to bet money. You don't have to, by the way.
Yeah.
But if you see a horse out 15 lengths, maybe that would be a good place to put your money. And in general, that has been Amazon, that has been Apple, Starbucks. Priceline has been an awesome stock. More recently, I added to a smaller, younger company. But here's a quick trivia quiz for you, Paul. What has been the number one grossing app on the App Store by dollars over the last month or so?
Oh, in the last month? I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a completely unfair question.
Yeah.
But here it is. The answer is it's not Pokemon Go. You know, it's actually Tinder.
Kinder?
Tinder. T-I-N-D-E-R.
Oh, Tinder.
Do you know what Tinder is?
Yes, I do. The dating app.
It's the dating app. And that comes to you from the company Match, which also is Match.com. It has a lot of dating sites. And that company is an excellent company. They're going to be around for a long time. People are using the online medium and apps to meet others, to date, sometimes find a husband or wife if you get truly lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great example of another stock. A lot of people don't realize, hey, I could own shares in the company that makes Tinder or Match.com. And so we're constantly at the Motley Fool. We're trying to reconnect people with the idea that the products and services that you know, that you may love, that are flourishing around you, you can be a part owner of the companies that make those products and services. That's what the stock market is for. It's not for short-term speculation or trying to guess where the Dow is going to be at the turn of this year. It's about becoming a part owner of the great companies of your time.
Okay, now I remember in the early days when I would have you and Tom on my show together, and one of you would talk about something and the other one would look askance at the other one, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm witnessing sibling rivalry right here in the room with me, and I have the same thing because I have a younger brother, and we did the same thing. Do you still do that about individual stocks? Will Tom pick one and you'll go, what, are you crazy?
Well, there's a little bit of that. And, Paul, you and I are both the older siblings, so we know how those younger siblings
feel. Yes,
and I
absolutely.
I know a lot of your listeners are also the eldest in their family, so they're with us on this as well.
Firstborn
we
wins.
Them, but we may think differently than they,
yeah.
than they do. I do think that Tom and I probably are far more alike than different. We probably spend too much time thinking about how we're different or talking about it. Sometimes we do pick different stocks. So when I mentioned Motley Fool Stock Advisor earlier, every single month I've picked a stock the last 15 years, and so has my brother Tom. And so looked at one way, it's kind of a competition. Which brother is picking the stocks that do better over time?
Go ahead. Tell him who's in the lead.
That might be the reason you're having me on the show. I'm not going to say anything more about that. But anybody who wants to sign in the Stock Advisor, you can take a free trial. If you just Google Motley Fool Stock Advisor, you can come in and see all the picks I've ever made. But it's been, you know, it's mainly my big winners like Netflix, which is up 96 times since I first recommended it, or Priceline, which is up 77 times. These are companies that these days are kind of household names. Pretty much everybody knows Netflix. And
yep.
Priceline, in the 15 years that I've had it, has gone from number 4 in the industry to number 1.
And now we have this little obscure company up in Minnesota called 3M. Okay, I've got that. The Motley Fool Investment Guide is out now in its third edition, completely revised and updated. That's not true. I saw the word "the" in there many, many times, and I know it was in there in the original. But it is a really good read if you're interested in starting investing, trying to figure out what being in the stock market means, or you want to have a few tips along the way. David and Tom Gardner are the guys behind The Motley Fool. David, it's always a pleasure. I'm glad to have you back on the show today.
So good to hear you again, Paul. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.